Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Maria Luisa Mendonça. She is a director of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights in Brazil and professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. Maria, thank you so much for making the time to come on our program tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
Maria, I wondered if you would, first of all, provide some context to understand better for people in this country that don't have a lot of direct news sources in Brazil, the status of the impeachment of Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff, who was suspended from office last week and now faces an impeachment trial in the Brazilian Senate on charges of manipulating the national budget. I wonder if you talk about, you know, how we got to this point and prospects for her surviving a trial and returning to office.
Yes, I think the first thing that is important to understand is that the reason for the impeachment is a very common practice that several administrations have used. They basically borrow money from public banks to cover expenses with social programs in Brazil. So previous administrations have done this at the federal level, and currently, if we use the same criteria, at least 16 state governors would have to be impeached. So she's not being accused of any corruption charges. At the same time that the Congress members from the opposition parties that are putting her on trial are the ones facing serious accusations of corruption. The Speaker of the lower house, who now had to step down, he was the one who orchestrated the impeachment process against her, and he's being charged of having millions of dollars in offshore accounts in Switzerland, and the public prosecutors in Switzerland have confirmed that information. So President Dilma actually gave more independence to the federal police to investigate cases of corruption, and I think that's one of the reasons why the conservative parties now are trying to stop the investigations by accusing her of a practice that cannot justify her impeachment.
Thank you for that, Maria. What are the prospects that Dilma Rousseff will survive this trial and return to office as president?
Well, it doesn't look very good, which is very dangerous for democracy in Brazil and for the whole region, because even before the vote, the Congress members in the Senate in the lower house have already expressed their opinions, and they didn't even mention the reason for the impeachment. In the lower house, it was a bizarre situation. One after the other, Congress members were saying that they approved the impeachment in the name of God, in the name of their families. One of them praised a former military commander known by performing torture against political prisoners during the military dictatorship. And now what we have, just 5 hours before taking power, the supposed new president is already making structural changes. He abolished, just in 5 hours, the ministers of culture, of communication, of women, of racial equality, of agricultural development, and also the governmental bodies that used to control cases of corruption, that used to investigate those cases. So I think we're going to see a situation of repression against social movements that are protesting against what we see as a parliamentary coup.
Maria Luisa, I have heard that Michel Temer, Dilma Rousseff's vice president, who's now the acting president, may very well implement a neoliberal economic program even before any new national elections are scheduled. How much of a concern do you have that a lot of the programs that lifted millions of people in Brazil out of poverty over recent years that the Workers' Party was in government will now be reversed with this unelected president who's taking the reins of office in the midst of this crisis?
Exactly. He already announced several cuts in social programs, in healthcare, in education, and he appointed radical, evangelical, right-wing new ministers. For instance, the new Minister of Science and Technology is a religious fundamentalist that doesn't believe in science. The new Minister of Health just said that, for instance, the problem of Zika virus is because the mosquito is not obedient. So we have this bizarre new cabinet of right-wing evangelicals that are cutting social programs already just in a few days. And what we are going to see probably is more economic instability, more social inequality, and all the gains that we had in the last decade. You know, President Dilma was elected and reelected, and at that time of her reelection, we had the situation of full employment in Brazil. Then right after she got reelected with 55 million votes, Brazil suffered an speculative attack from financial markets. And that was the reason why the economy was destabilized. And because there was no reason, it was different from here in the United States when you had a house bubble and then you had an economic crisis. In Brazil, suddenly we wake up and we have an economic crisis for no apparent reason. So there was an speculative attack against the economy, and at the same time, we had a huge campaign from corporate media, and all the TV networks started to call demonstrations against the government and tell people that the only way the economy was going to improve was that if there was a change in government. So it's important for people to understand that we don't have a parliamentary system in Brazil. It's a presidential system. So we cannot impeach a president just because at some point in her term, her popularity is low or some people don't like her. So we have to respect the result of the election. That's the main point we need to clarify.
We're speaking with Maria Luisa Mendonça, Director of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights in Brazil and Professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. Maria, many Workers' Party supporters of President Dilma Rousseff, accuse opposition politicians of what they call a parliamentary coup d'etat. Beyond that, in discussing the economic crisis that you just described to our listeners, what, if any, role has the United States played in creating a situation, a political and economic environment in Brazil that has brought down, apparently, the Workers' Party government?
Well, when you talk about financial markets, of course, these are not ghosts, right? We are talking about large institutions such as banks, pension funds, that operate and control financial markets. And all countries in the world right now need to issue that governmental bonds in order to pay for social programs. The United States has the larger public debt in the world. So all countries are now vulnerable to a financial crisis. But, of course, if you have an economy such as the Brazilian economy that also relies a lot on the export of commodities, then you become more vulnerable. So I think it was a combination of financial interest, because Dilma also had reduced interest rates, which means more support for productive investments and less support for speculative investments. So that was not very popular with financial institutions. And at the same time, she was giving priority to Petrobras, to the national oil company, to invest in the new oil reserves that were discovered in Brazil recently. So, of course, there is also an interest from the part of multinational oil corporations to have a change in legislation. And the new Minister of Foreign Affairs that was just appointed a few days ago was a senator who is proposing to change legislation to allow multinational corporations to have the same rights as the Brazilian oil company in exploiting these oil reserves.
Maria, what's been the reaction among Brazilians to this impeachment? We've seen in our own media here in the United States tens, hundreds of thousands of people in the streets, people demanding the impeachment of Dilma Rousseff, the current president. But we also know that the Workers' Party in Brazil has enjoyed a lot of popularity over the years. In fact, they've been in power continuously over many years. What are we not seeing in our media in terms of public support for the Workers' Party?
Yes, the support for the government, and not only the government, but for democracy in Brazil, is being ignored for the most part in Brazil and for part of the international media. The international coverage is actually better. The Brazilian media is bizarre. I mean, imagine if here in the United States all the TV networks were exactly like Fox News, if you only had Fox News, and if that station started to call demonstrations against the government and to cover those demonstrations live all day. So this is what happened. You know, there was a huge media campaign against the government, and you don't have a diversity of voices in the Brazilian media. That's why it's very important that we give visibility to these issues in the international media.
What do you think is the likely next move for people in Brazil who support the Workers' Party and support Dilma Rousseff? If the impeachment goes forward with a guilty verdict in the Brazilian Senate against President Rousseff, will elections be scheduled, or how much longer would acting President Michel Temer stay in office before the people of Brazil have their say again as to who will be leading them?
Yeah, everything is very unclear at this point. We have seen large demonstrations in support of democracy and against the impeachment, but we also have seen a greater level of repression. And I think the repression against social movements and demonstrations would increase. So that's a very dangerous situation. Also, the reason why the opposition parties orchestrated the coup was because they have not been able to win elections for more than a decade. So the only way for them to take power was, you know, through this type of indirect type of maneuver to take power. So the current president is also facing serious charges of corruption. The most popular person in Brazil is still Lula. If there was an election today, Lula would win for sure. So the conservative parties are trying to destroy the Workers' Party and the reputation of Lula and Dilma, who are the most popular politicians right now. For the most part, and the current president, who was the vice president, if there were elections right now, he wouldn't even get 2% of the vote. So it's very unclear what is going to happen. I think we're going to enter a situation of repression, of instability politically, socially, and economically. And it's very important that we have international solidarity and support for democracy.
You mentioned former Brazilian President Lula Inácio da Silva. He had been a very popular figure, but opposition parties and prosecutors have charged him with possible corruption revolving around a house that he owns, or a house that he allegedly owns. What can you tell us about these charges? And if Lula were to run again for the presidency, what stands in his way in terms of these allegations of corruption?
Yes, actually, there are no serious charges against him. At the same time, now you have 7 new ministers who have just been appointed that are facing serious charges of corruption. Against Lula, the story is supposedly he uses an apartment from a friend, and this apartment was remodeled by one of the construction companies that has contracts with the government. So if you compare to the serious cases of corruption of offshore accounts, millions of dollars in bribes, so it's very disproportional the way that the media and the public prosecutors in Brazil are treating the case of Lula compared to the accusations against other politicians from conservative parties. And one very serious situation was the fact that Lula never denied to testify on that specific case that I just described. And one day at 6 in the morning, the police arrived at his house with 200 very armed military police guards and took him to an airport. And apparently, when they arrived at the airport, one of the Air Force commanders didn't allow his airplane to leave because I think they had plot some kind of a kidnapping situation to arrest him. And then the public prosecutor changed his mind and said that he was taken to the airport to testify. I mean, what is an airport is the most insecure place you can take a former president to testify. It didn't make any sense. And why, if he never refused to testify, you needed to take him by force with 200 armed military police guards. So, you know, several indications leading to this, to the impeachment of President Dilma also make us believe that that is actually some kind of political conspiracy to have a change in government in Brazil and to make it appear as if they were the main concern is about corruption, when in fact that what we see right now is the most corrupt cabinet that we couldn't imagine that it would be possible to have this type of change in government so quickly and in such an undemocratic way.
We're speaking with Maria Luisa Mendonça, director of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights in Brazil. We're talking about the impeachment of Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff. And Maria, I wanted to ask you about throughout this political crisis in Brazil, we've heard a lot about endemic corruption, patronage, and graft. And I wonder if you see any silver lining here in all this corruption being exposed in this crisis. Is there a possibility that the public will demand reforms and some kind of third force that can rein in this corruption?
Well, I think that campaign finance reform would be very important. And that's a problem that doesn't happen only in Brazil. All over the world, you have corporate power influencing politicians, influencing elections. What Dilma did is that she gave more independence to the federal police to investigate corruption. And of course, the conservative parties who have done this for many decades now are trying to stop those investigations. So with this current government that is not a legitimate government, that is undermining the electoral process, undermining democracy, I don't see any hope right now. The only hope is that the international community and the Brazilian society would denounce this as a coup and demand that we respect the democratic process that elected Dilma Rousseff.
Well, just a final question, Maria. With the Summer Olympic Games coming up in Brazil, what are the concerns that this political and economic crisis will disrupt the Olympic competition?
And that's who knows what's going to happen. The situation is so unstable right now. The economy and there have been so many demonstrations on the streets and also a lot of repression on the streets as well. Several organizations, professional organizations, academic organizations are voicing their opposition to what we see as an illegitimate government. And also there is a lot of opposition because of the fact that the new administration dismantled very important institutions in Brazil. Imagine that, you know, just after a few hours of taking power, he eliminated the Minister of Culture, which was a very important institution to promote Brazilian culture all over the world. So I think that when we see more social programs being cut, cuts in healthcare, in education, and workers' rights, we're going to see more opposition in Brazil, and hopefully we are going to have international support and solidarity.
Well, Maria, thank you so much. I know you've got a busy schedule, so we very much appreciate you spending time with us tonight. And where's a good news source for our listeners to get some unfiltered news and about the current situation in Brazil? Any suggestions?
Well, I think that The Guardian has been doing really good reporting, The Intercept, and The New York Times did a few good stories recently as well. But I think The Guardian has been following this story very closely and is a good source of information.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much again for sharing your analysis of the current crisis. Maria, appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Maria Luisa Mendonça, Director of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights in Brazil and professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro.